of God's words and ways for us. Good morning. We're happy here to have us join us here this morning. We want to especially welcome all the visitors this morning. Pastor Claire still continues to be serving Peru as a mission trip, and we'll be back in Concordia on Wednesday this week. Today we're here to welcome intern Shadow Hansen from St. John's Lutheran Church. It's a pleasure to have Shadow at us at Thanksgiving Eve service, and we're grateful to have him back here today. A couple announcements to highlight this morning. There will be a community meal tonight at Concordia from 4 to 6 p.m. at Fellowship Hall. Everyone is welcome to join us and bring family and friends for the meal. This week, the Memorial Committee will be meeting on Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. And reminder that finance will be meeting on Wednesday evening at 7:15 p.m. Are there any other announcements this morning? I think John has one. He wants to come up and speak.
Well, next Sunday, something's going to be happening that's never been done here before, and that is that we are going to be commissioning seven Stephen ministers that have spent hundreds of hours reading and 50 hours of class, and they're really for you in our church and our community, and we would love it if you'd be here and support those people that have given so much of their time, and then we will be part of the service. It's not going to be very long, but it's for you as well, recognizing these people that have given of themselves for all of us. So I hope that you'll come next Sunday.
Okay, can you please stand and join us singing the opening hymn, As the Deer, number 2025 in the Black Hymnals? Please join me in the call to worship. God says, look, see my chosen servant, the one in whom I utterly delight. I have placed my spirit in you. You will bring true justice to the nation. When Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened up, and the Spirit came down like a dove, and there was a voice from heaven saying, this is the dearest Son, in whom I delight. The joy of the Lord will be with you all.
Also with you.
Please join me in prayer. My most wonderful God, holy and flawed who we are, we too delight in your beloved Son. As in his name we gather in the house of many praises. May the heavens be open for us, that we may glimpse of the light and the love that transforms the common days. Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Please remain standing and singing The Living God, number 393 in the red hymnal. Time for the service for children.
How would you like to sit down in front today? Okay. Today, I'm going to talk about one of my favorite subjects. Oreos. Now, I feel that they're pretty special. In fact, I've got a kind of a tradition in our family that started many years ago. Probably a little older than you, but taught my kids, and now they're teaching their kids, my grandkids. You take an Oreo, You break it up into pieces and you put it in the bottom of a bowl. And then you cover it with applesauce. And then you look to find the Oreo pieces. And that way you get your fruit as well as the Oreos. But you know, Oreos are really special. Because they're a lot like people. You say, nah, they don't look like people. No. Each one is a little different if you really, really look carefully. But you know what's really unique about an Oreo that makes it like people? It's what's inside that counts. And you say, well, what's inside people? Well, faith, hope, love, giving, feelings for other people, all the things that we like to say, it's heart. You heard people say, oh, he or she's got a big heart. Well, now let's look at some Oreos, because I think you're going to find that maybe there is something to that. Look at that Oreo. It doesn't have anything in it, does it? No heart. You know, bully at school? Or maybe you've read or heard about some bad people. Maybe they don't have heart. Maybe they don't have what's really important. But here's the greatest amount. The people, the average, the regular Oreo. That's a lot like most of us. We do try to do good. We try to, you know, treat other people well and so forth. Say average. Well, what's average? People around here, maybe. But then you go outside and say, oh, I don't know. Some of those people may not be average. But we have double stuff. That's the people that go a little bit above and beyond. Maybe they play the piano. Maybe they're an intern. Maybe they're a minister in the choir. Maybe they lead the choir. Those of us that don't have musical ability, we appreciate that. Maybe they deliver mobile meals. Maybe they're Stephen ministers. They go a little bit above and beyond. Think of that when you think of double stuff. Then we think of Mother Teresa. There's not many around like that, but there are a few people that have devoted their entire life to God. And keep in mind, it's not just big people, but little people. And you see what's inside there? It's inside you. No, but we have to be careful. Because sometimes people, you know, they talk a good show and, gee, they seem on the outside. But when we look at them carefully, we can see right through them. They're not what we thought. One other thing to keep in mind. Remember this person? Well, you know what? God didn't give up on them. There's something there. Something there, no matter how bad. I'd like you to join me in a prayer that I've been saying since I was your age. Father, hear us as we pray. Guard and keep us day by day. Help us feel the loving care every day and everywhere. Amen. And I got something for you to take with you. Remember, what's inside that counts.
Our first reading is in Scripture, is Acts 10, 34 through 43. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God showed no partiality, but in every nation, everyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus with power and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. At this time, we'll have a gift of music, of course.
And then the other part is us speaking to him.
At this time, Shadow will do the second reading in the service for us. Thank you.
For the gospel text, we'll be reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, first, I would like to thank you for the opportunity to preach here at this place to you and with you all this morning, and for your warm welcome that serves as a testament to the ecumenical partnership that the ELCA and the UMC have together. My name is Shadow. I am a pastoral intern at St. John's Lutheran Church here in Prairie du Sac, and that means I'm still in the formation process. I'm still learning. So I would also like to thank you for the chance to preach here and to imagine what worship is outside of my usual context. Oh, and before I begin, one of the things that I really like to do when I preach is to at least include one joke. And sometimes it makes good sense to start with a joke. And kind of a disclaimer, don't use me for the whole, like, that's what a Lutheran is. I think you might be like, man, these Lutherans are a little weird after you hear this sermon. The joke. So there was a man who was under the impression that he was a kernel of corn. Well, being a piece of corn isn't all that bad. However, he really didn't get anything done, and he didn't know any other pieces of corn, so he got kind of lonely and figured, I should probably go to a psychiatrist and figure this thing out. So he went to the psychiatrist, and it took months of treatment. And finally, the psychiatrist convinces the man that he's in fact a human being and not a kernel of corn. Well, this guy is relieved. He's delighted. He goes outside, leaves the psychiatrist's office, and starts walking down the street, and he has this big smile on his face until he runs into a chicken. And the man's terrified, and he turns around and he runs right back into the psychiatrist's office, and he tells him what just happened. Well, the psychiatrist is confused. He says, "We just spent months figuring this out. You know that you're not a kernel of corn." And the man says, "Well, yeah, I know that. But does the chicken know that?" Now that I got that out of the way, I'd like to tell you that the joke is relative to the sermon, and I don't just like to tell jokes for fun. Both the joke and the gospel text today, they're both talking about identity. So far in the book of Matthew, all we know that the birth of Jesus was a big deal. There were wise men coming from the east, and they had an idea that this young man was going to be the king of the Jews. Herod caught wind of this and was afraid that they were right. Mary didn't speak a single word, and Joseph was visited in dreams by an angel who said to name the baby Emmanuel, and Joseph ended up naming the baby Jesus, but maybe that's for a different sermon. We as the readers know that lots of Jesus' ancestors were important people who made appearances all throughout the Bible. so we might be on to the identity of Jesus. But it seems like no one in the story really has an understanding about who Jesus is, except maybe John the Baptist. And even he is confused as to what that means. It's a strange scene that is set up in the gospel text today. John the Baptizer only has one job. He's supposed to baptize people. So when Jesus shows up, yet when Jesus shows up, he decides that he shouldn't baptize Jesus, rather Jesus should baptize him. And Jesus, he seems to kind of be understanding of John's confusion. So they talk it out a little bit, and I think he understands where John is coming from, but they get to a point where Jesus finally gets baptized. What happens next in the story is a little perplexing, however. The heavens are opened up, and Jesus sees the Spirit coming down to him like a dove. We don't know if anyone else saw this, and we aren't sure how Matthew knows, but that's the picture that's painted. Then there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is where I think we ought to pay attention. Now, this particular event happens in each gospel account. There are four narratives that line up here that talk about this very story, what's happening, and only two of those narratives agree with each other. We heard in Matthew, the voice says, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." In Luke and Mark, however, the voice says, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And in the book of John, it's John the Baptist who actually becomes the voice, and he tells everybody that this is the one who is God's Son, and God is pleased with him. So the question now becomes, why does the voice from heaven say this? Who was supposed to hear it? Is this voice saying this so Jesus can be comforted and confident that he is the Son of God? Is this a moment where the identity of Jesus is finally revealed to everyone else? Back to my joke earlier, is this a situation where Jesus needs to be convinced that he's the Son of God? Or is it that he knows he's the Son of God, but does everyone else know? We know that throughout the gospel accounts, the identity of Jesus is always being questioned. This becomes very clear in moments like directly after his baptism, when he goes out to the wilderness and he's questioned by the devil, who begins most of his sentences with, "If you are the Son of God." Or the time his identity is being challenged when Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they all come up with all sorts of different answers. And finally, when he's brought before the high priest just before his death, when they question him under oath, asking him point blank if he is the Messiah, the Son of God, and say so if you are. Whether or not Jesus knew in his heart who he was, he definitely had enough people pressuring him into doubting, into wondering, into even maybe asking the question himself. That same kind of pressure doesn't just happen to Jesus, but it's a kind of a pressure that we all struggle with on a daily basis. Who we are in the eyes of our neighbors greatly affect the way we feel about ourselves, which means we're just one bad haircut away from an identity crisis, from feeling like a nobody. Well, for lots of us, our sense of self and identity is fragile. And quite often we fall short of perfect. Kind of like those Oreos that don't really have a lot going on in the middle there. Also, do you have any Oreos left? Yeah. We do things we wish we hadn't, and we don't do things we wish we had. And we make mistakes, and we procrastinate. Sometimes we say the wrong things, and I'm not sure I need to keep going with this list. There are voices that make us question who we are, what we are capable of, and how much we are loved. These voices are loud and plenty, and sometimes come from within. Luckily for us and for Jesus, there is one voice that does not question who we are or our worth. The voice that comes from heaven only has one message. You are my child, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. You are God's child, beloved by God. These words are meant for Jesus and for all those whom Jesus died for, which includes you. In our baptism, it is revealed that God is with us, that God loves us, and God has something to say about us. In your life, you will face lots of complex problems, many difficult events, and you will more than likely ask a few questions along the way. What I think the text today is saying is you don't have to question who you are or how much God loves you. However, you might have to ask the question, does the chicken know that? Amen.
At the church, we'll sing a song, 545, in red hymnals, The Church of One Foundation.
Thank you.
be seated. Invitation to giving. God, give us not only life, but the new love born of forgiveness. Therefore, with generous hearts, let us give back a portion of what we have already been given to us in our baptism covenant with God and each other. Would the ushers please come forward? Please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving. For the blessings of this and all our days, we thank you, gracious God. Accept, we pray, not just this money, but also our lives freely offered in gratitude for all you have done for us. Use them both in this place and wherever you might take us. Amen. Invitation of prayer. Does anybody do we need to recognize? You might be seated. I'm sorry. So at this time, do we need to recognize anyone in for church in prayer? Okay. I'll continue on here. Let us pray then. God, at this time and space, you are not bound by calendars, day timers, or watches. Teach us to not be bound by them either. God of the stars, the heavens, the planets, and their orbits, you send a star to guide the Magi on their journey to the Christ child, and send your star to guide us on journeys of faith. God of creation, your word spoke creation into being. You sent your Son as the light into the world of darkness. God, may your word still speak to us today. May your Son still be the light in our worlds of darkness. God of our dark world and hotbed of fighting, pollution, starvation, and homelessness, teach to once again be stewards of your earth. Bring forth your peace in the midst of battles. May there be plenty for those who are starving. May there be homes for those without homes. And just as the Magi brought gifts to Christ's child, may we bring gifts to the Christ child again. We pray this as you have taught us in praying, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom be done, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We have our benediction.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and remind you who you are. Amen.
May you stand and we'll sing the first verse. God be with you till we meet again.